And one last thing, I want to point out that we had a tough day last night in the Middle East. We lost three brave souls in attacking one of our base.
Yeah.
And I've asked for a moment of silence for all three of those souls.
I know the audio is a lot of echo in that audio. That's Joe Biden, and in essence saying, you know, he said, we had a tough day last night to attack on our U.S. service members. And Jordan, welcome to the Dana Show for a Monday. I'm Sergio Sanchez in from, as I love to describe this place, the studios at KURV Talk Radio, proud affiliate to the Dana Show, about an hour away, hour drive from Starbase, Texas, yeah. Elon Musk country. And Dana, Lord willing, she'll be back with us tomorrow. Yeah, sadly, we have to start today's program with another example of incompetence by the Biden administration, and the price paid is a high price. It is the most precious treasure that we have as a nation. It is our young people, our strength, their ideas, their vigor, their potential. Three young service members, their lives lost, and we have dozens and dozens and dozens. Last count was like over 30 that are hurt, some more severe than others, at a base in Jordan where they were housed. Now, I'm just a citizen like you, like the overwhelming majority of you. And I know at this moment we're going like shoulda, woulda, coulda. Like, for example, some of y'all who are seasoned enough to have lived through the whole Iraq war engagement from two decades back, and we kept hearing of all these reports in Iraq, the war that George W. took us into, and the incompetent head Rumsfeld over at the Pentagon. And I say this because, I mean, how's it possible that Rumsfeld, like 20 years ago, he was slow walking the protection? That's what became obvious to everybody. Slow walking the response, the protection of our most precious treasure on the ground. We knew that Iran way back then was involved in training some of these insurgents and terrorists and attacking U.S. soldiers inside Iraq, an issue that should have been taken care of back then, but then, you know, just tiptoeing through the tulips and making sure you don't crack any eggshells you're tiptoeing on as well. You don't want to attack. There were so many claims way back then on how Iran was directly responsible for the deaths of about, what was it, well over 600 U.S. service members, which when, by the way, when Donald Trump took over and he let loose the dogs of war at the Pentagon, took care of ISIS inside Iraq over 10 years later, about 15 years later during the brief Trump administration, took care of that Soleimani guy, that number two guy in the Iranian government, the great hero of Iran, because they celebrated him in Iran because he was responsible for coordinating the attack on the great Satan, the killing of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the great Satan's sons and daughters on the battlefield in Iraq by coordinating all these terrorist attacks. That's why he was so loved and celebrated. That's why they were wailing after Donald Trump took him out the first chance that he got here. Look, I'm not calling for warfare on Iran. I want things done right. Later this hour, I hope to share with you a conversation with someone who's on the front lines of and in Congress, and in front of senators' faces. Bring Our Troops Home is the name of his organization. Bring Our Troops Home. He is proud of our military. He served our country. He's a U.S. veteran, but so disenchanted with just damn stupid decision-making at the Pentagon. The last people that they think of is our troops. Sometimes these administrations, like the Obama administration, you know, threatening our, you know, drawing a red line in the sand. The enemy will always call you on it. And say they always think about the engagements, the rules of engagement, to benefit the enemy and not benefit our sons and daughters on the front lines of defending our way of life, defending our nation. We should be in places that benefit us strategically, long-term. We should be taking inventory, in my opinion, of the places that we are based at, that we have sons and daughters at, What benefit do we get from something like this? Look, Biden is simply, like I was saying, Biden is simply responding to yet another example of his brute incompetence. We have the bloody example, the exit of Afghanistan at the outset of his administration. That blood is still on his hands. And not enough, in my opinion, has been said by the present leadership in the Republican Party, much less, you know, the lack of leadership that we have right now with Rand McDaniel. And this is messaging. This is history, recent history, with Americans who have a very short attention span that should be reminded. Americans should be reminded how this incompetent administration, not listening to the advice, not listening to counsel at the Pentagon, not listening to the generals on how to properly exit Afghanistan, conveniently saying, oh, under the Trump administration, they had this deal. We couldn't do anything about it. We had to leave. And just ripped. And forget the Band-Aid. I mean, what we're talking about, suturing an open wound. He just ripped all the threads off and opened up that wound to bleed and had a lot of blood on America's hands, led to that terrorist attack. We had all these young men and women, and then hundreds of civilians killed as a result of that terror attack in Afghanistan as we were leaving. And the blood that we will never hear of or see, more than likely, of allies, interpreters, and other people who worked for the U.S. military in Afghanistan for two decades. It's a shameful, disgusting, and shameful chapter in American history. And Joe Biden is responsible for that. It did not need to be that way. And the reason I point to this incident where three American service members and dozens are injured, friends, for several weeks now, there's been a steady cadence of American, UK allies, commercial ships, some carrying some type of petrol product, others carrying big cargo containers, you know, the Straits of Hormuz. For several weeks now, we have been hearing the constant cadence of terrorist attacks, the Houthi rebels, who, by the way, let's remember, Joe Biden, one of the first things that he did, oh, let's remove the Houthi rebels from the list of, you know, terrorist organizations. Well, had to quickly go back and put them on that list again after recently these boys have been getting pretty fancy rockets and weaponry and been shooting and successfully hitting U.S., U.K., Japanese, other targets, taking their boats out there and seizing some of these assets. Doesn't matter who it is. They're just going after everything. They're creating chaos. And that's what terrorists do. And now Joe Biden had to put them, after taking them off the list, had to put them back. And may I remind you, friends, $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets were freed up. Oh, Serge, but that was for food and medicine. That's just for the children. That's just for food. Bull crap. It's a movement of $6 billion from the food bill on the ledger that's freed up. Oh, look at that. We got food money now. Let's take the $6 billion in food and medicine, all that stuff. Let's use it for weapons. And all of a sudden, all these Houthi rebels, well, they got some fancy, schmancy, pretty accurate missiles hitting ships in the Straits of Hormuz. And we got these miscreants near Jordan, Iran-backed, got themselves some pretty fancy, schmancy drones. Look, these drones are, and you'll hear it later. I was talking to a friend about this. When you hear the word drone, you think, like the standard, like commercial type, you know, you buy the kids, right? They have like multiple propellers on them and you got a remote control. No, these are more like missiles. They're more like guided missiles. These are the drones. They're pretty expensive weaponry. Maybe they're picking them up from Russia. Maybe they're developing them on their own because, you know, the Iranians are uber, super smart individuals. But, you know, these gun turrets that shoot like 100 bullets a second, like 6,000, I think, a minute. You know, like those rapid fire gun turrets that you see on some naval, U.S. naval assets. When there's a missile headed their way, this sucker comes out and aims it like the Terminator, really cool, comes out, points it, and before it blows everything out of the sky. Why don't we have at least the housing units? Like, I know we're shoulda, woulda, coulda right now, but our most precious asset, our most precious treasure, are our young people, our men and women who volunteered to protect our country and protect our way of life. If If we can't shoot those, in essence, missiles, a.k.a., you know, drones, we can't shoot those down with a Patriot missile system, like all these missiles that we provide the Ukrainians to shoot down those missiles and drones, all these missiles that we provide the Israelis to shoot down all those missiles coming inbound from Hamas and from Hezbollah. If we can't shoot those down because they're flying too low, whatever excuse you give, we have plenty of assets. I'm sure we have plenty of those gun turrets, plenty of those high-speed weapons to shoot down anything that is inbound toward our service members, especially at housing units. As a civilian, I throw out there, I don't think we do enough to protect our men and women. And no wonder they're disenchanted. And looking at the ridiculous, the comical recruitment campaigns that they have right now that are LGBTQ, non-binary, whatever you want to call it, all these crazy. No wonder our young people don't want to volunteer under Joe Biden in this military. No wonder they're having a hard time recruiting for a military. We depend on a volunteer military, which means we depend on young men and women to believe in our nation, believe in our way of life. And since we have no leadership, since we have incompetent leadership at the White House under Joe Biden, freeing up at least $6 billion in food aid so they can, Iranians, use those $6 billion on weapons to give the Houthis and to give these other miscreants in Jordan and Hamas, everybody else, give them weapons to kill the U.S., to kill U.S. shipping, to kill Israelis, as many as they can. Joe Biden's responsible for that. Connect the dots, my friend. Let me, I don't know if it's all, it was cut to the same thing, Steve, a little bit of audio. And yeah, let's do that one, cut to Biden having to make the announcement on our service members being killed. There's a real result of, you know, he's showing credentials and then having to make the announcement. Go ahead, Stephen.
It's about who we are. It's about what, think about it. How the world looks at us. I've been doing foreign policy for a long, long time. I was the chairman of the Votes Committee for the like. That's why Barack asked me to get his ticket. And I know everyone was saying the state. I've known him for a while. And every meeting I go to when I ask you, there's a walk-on Mr. God Two-Finger sitting in front of the press.
I can't hear. All I heard from him is I've been doing foreign policy for a long time. Obviously, he didn't learn a damn thing. All I hear is blah, 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 blah. Much like when he reads the teleprompter these days, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just realized this past weekend, we are in serious trouble. If we take a defensive stance in this nation, and we were in a position where, okay, let's bring our kids home, let's bring close down some of these ancillary, unnecessary military operations, trying to save some money, protect our most sacred treasure, our young people, our military. Let's bring everybody home. We'll take a defensive stand. And if anybody's stupid enough to fire at us, we'll fire back. The way this guy, Joe Biden, reads a teleprompter, I mean, it just dawned on me this past weekend. Well, somebody putting in loop, like, I want to say, can you imagine somebody, depending on somebody grabbing the nuclear football, giving him all the letters and the numbers and the several lines of letters and numbers to try to read to, and confirm that he is a president and he has to fire back to protect our nation, fire back to defend us. He'll never get through it. We'll be in ashes. There'll be nuclear clouds all over the place. He'll still be trying to figure out, blah, 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 trying to read the nuclear code. That's who we have as the so-called commander-in-chief. Lord help us. Lord help us. Stop voting stupidly. Oh, and let me connect the dots for you again. Stop voting for all Democrats. I know it hurts you for me to say that to you and you to hear me say that. But it's the truth. From the Biden border mess to the incompetence with our military to inflation to all this social upheaval, this gender confusion and craziness and they're going after your kids. That doesn't come from Republicans. It's all coming from Democrats. I'm connecting the dots for you. Stop voting stupidly in 2024. You got one final chance to save our nation, in my opinion. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, reporting to you from South Texas.
You don't want to miss as we move. Our partners help bringing you free radio. It's our friends over at Wise Foods. And you'd rather, whenever something, heaven forbid, goes sideways, if an emergency hits, the last thing that you want to have to worry about is where your meal is going to come from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. So when you type Dana, when you go to wisefoods.com and you type Dana in that search bar, that takes you to a page where you get access to these exclusive deals from Wise Foods. Like, for instance, their buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. It includes two boxes. You got 12 pouches of premium survival food, 11,120 total calories in each kit, freeze-dried, dehydrated, high-quality U.S. ingredients, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. But they also have their heirloom seed vault. Time to start. Never too late to start thinking about how you're going to garden and get it all set up next year. As 39 variety of seeds and their non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. And each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dane in the search bar for exclusive deals like that buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Type Dana in the search bar.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You're in tune with the Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez, an honor to be with you today. Get some rest, Dana, and hope you can clear your thoughts and your heart and be back with us tomorrow. Stick around. My conversation with Dan McKnight, who's with an organization called Bring Our Troops Home, is coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, Steve, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I inserted this little headline here just for a chance to tear up some paper. Can you please stop feeding tabloid yellow journalism, all this tabloid crap? There's all these. In fact, the news network's doing all these updates on Kate, Princess of Wales, is back home from the hospital, and the king, and I don't care. Just stop with this crap already. Seriously, you're an American. My goodness. Little heads up in case you're traveling soon. Congratulations to Chicago, yet again at the number one on the list of Orkin. You know the pest control people, Orkin, their annual list of worst bedbug cities in the nation. Chicago, number one. In fact, the top six didn't learn anything. Have no shame. They weren't embarrassed enough by this. So Chicago's number one, followed by New York City, Philadelphia, Cleveland, L.A., Detroit, just in case you're traveling and staying at those hotels, just heads up. Not that you can do anything. Well, like sleep on the floor, get some sheets, sleep on the floor. Shaping up to be a good year for the housing market. According to the National Association of Realtors, they say that home sales month to month, 8.3% in the month of December. And if and only if they can see interest rates go a little lower this year, maybe they'll get a bit more business in the housing market. And 180 by folks at Twitch. They reportedly are dropping their revenue cap reduction plan after many streamers complain. Folks making money online, putting stuff on Twitch under the new rules. Streamers will receive a 70-30 revenue split regardless of how much money they make on Twitch. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. You're in tune with The Dana Show.
As we get rolling. And as we do, so our friends over at Patriot Mobile. I saw those guys. I saw Patriot Mobile the other day. We walked behind them. We were on the floor walking to a different booth visit. And just started running them down. Like, you know what phone service those communists like? I heard it was that Patriot Mobile. Now, they don't like the word communist. And you say communist around the guys who founded Patriot Mobile, and they are immediately like, where can we go and punch? Like, they turned around immediately. So we got their attention. I know the folks at Patriot Mobile are super funny, but they provide great, great cell phone service, and they're just some of the nicest people out there. And I know where they live, but no, they're super fun people. And this is, if you don't want your dollars, your hard-earned money, like going towards, I don't know, gun control or DEI or bad candidates or whatever, you need to be switching to Patriot Mobile. Because first off, not only are you going to get dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks all across the country, you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. When you switch, you are working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it so easy to switch. and you're going to save money. They got plans tailor-made for you. Free activation using code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Are we seeing the downfall of Marxism? You can believe BlackRock and put your money into DEI and ESG, but the free market will eventually win out every time. As they gain power to implement societal change, you're starting to see it fail. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
And other crazy numbers today? These border numbers from December. Record-breaking migrant encounters, 302,000. If you look at other populations, Cincinnati, 309,000. Seattle, 749,000. That's the year to date, 785,000.
Yeah, Brett Baer over from Fox, and if you count, man, from the start of the Biden administration, all the people that have been allowed to cross the border illegally and stay and game the asylum system in this country and get in line with millions of others who already were there. I mean, we were north of a million, like almost up to 2 million, if I remember correctly, people that are gaming the asylum courts, trying to make a plea, they're not going to show up to the court hearing. But, you know, they were allowed a chance to come in here and stay and stand in line. And in the meantime, after 6 months, go ahead and get a job and grow some roots and get married and have kids. And, you know, we're creating a whole new, I say, our nation, the Biden administration, all this incompetence, all this bureaucracy, creating a whole new so-called dreamer class. All our parents came here legally, but we were born in this country. My goodness, what an absolute cluster this is. 302,000 illegal immigrants. Under Joe Biden, we've had millions cross the border, maybe as anywhere between 5-7 million cross, and that's not even counting the gotaways. But hey, doesn't keep. Oh, by the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez. Hey, boy, where's Dana? Dana is out today getting some rest. Say a prayer for her, for peace and tranquility in her heart. That and Chris, you guys that keep up with Dana, you know, online. You know, they're a little painful situation they're going through right now, but they'll be fine. And Lord willing, Dana will be back with us tomorrow. Meantime, I'm Sergio Sanchez from the Dana Show affiliate in Deep South Texas, reporting to you on how Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, all so quick to blame the Republicans for this Biden border mess, saying the president took serious action from day one. Cut 32, Steve.
So here's the thing. I just lay this out just a little bit, John.
Yes.
So on the first day of his administration, the president took this very seriously. And when it came to immigration, when it came to border security, he put forth a comprehensive piece of legislation. That was almost 3 years ago. If Congress, House Republicans didn't get in the way and they actually took action, we probably would be in a different place today. Now what we're seeing in Congress is in the Senate, Republicans and Democrats together are working towards a bipartisan deal.
Another sign of not only incompetence, but lack of leadership. And another example why there is a void, just a vacuum right now in the executive branch. There's no leadership. Leaders take responsibility. Leaders take the blame. Leaders correct course. And this so-called leader, Joe Biden, from the very beginning, one of the first things that he did, boys and girls, you guys are paying attention. He stopped deportations, right? For at least 100 days, he stopped deportations. And then pretty much this parole program. They cross illegally, you let them stay. Check the COVID vaccine, and check for other communicable diseases. Oh, no, don't check. Just let them in. Let them in. Let them stand in line, figuratively speaking, for some of these asylum hearings. Just let them all in by the millions. It's KJP, man, every time she's flapping her gums, I'm always thinking, what was that old saying? There's liars, there's damn liars, and then there's Democrats, and now KJP has gone even further down. And then there's Joe Biden and company, KJP and everybody else, which the last two are pretty much one and the same. So yet again, I remind you, stop voting stupidly. I'm going to connect the dots for you because nobody else does in media. Present leadership of the Republican Party who should be doing that, they're not doing that either. Think of all the messes that we are in right now, from the bloodshed in Jordan, from the bloodshed in Afghanistan, from the inflation, from the Biden border mess, the upheaval in social, issues and confusion and androgyny, and they're going after your kids and all this, all these, everything comes from all this craziness, all this lunacy comes from the Democrats. And part of that is to tie our hands as well when it comes to energy and prosperity and jobs. You heard late last week, right, that the Biden administration is shooting us in the foot when it comes to distributing clean burning liquefied natural gas, all these exports to friends in Europe who need this fuel to run their turbines and generators and keep the lights on, because, you know, they can't get any of that from Russia or Ukraine. Yeah, just Joe Biden stopping exports, new exports, hurting all of us. My goodness, that conversation coming up later in the program. In the meantime, we're addressing the big story of the day. Three dead, dozens injured overseas. I want to get reaction from a friend of mine with a unique organization that hopes to discipline our military, discipline our government, and stop wasting our most precious resource, our young people. As far as our military is concerned, let me bring into the program for commentary on the sad state of affairs right now for some of our troops. Chairman and founder of Bring Our Troops Home is Dan McKnight. Dan, let's start with the cred. Let's take out some credentials now. Tell folks about your personal experience in the military. You're a veteran, so tell folks, let's start there, about your service to our country.
Absolutely. I served for 13 years, and I served in three different branches, in the United States Marine Corps, in the active duty Army, and in the Idaho Army National Guard, where I deployed to Afghanistan as a member of the National Guard from 2005 to 2007, and came home after the war and became disillusioned with our mission there. I felt like we were sending our troops abroad without clear definition of success and what the war was supposed to look like and how we could win the war. And I formed an organization called Bring Our Troops Home in 2019 with the sole purpose of affecting U.S. foreign policy and creating a more restrained vision of how we use the military around the world by forcing Congress to do their job and to declare war before we ever participate in war.
How successful have you been in getting lawmakers to listen to you?
You know, our success in Washington, D.C. has been very limited because the Uniparty is not interested in actually following the Constitution, and Congress is not interested in reclaiming their constitutional authority under Article 1, Section 8. So we have now pivoted, and instead of working in Washington, D.C., we're working in the states with the state legislatures, and we have a bill that we have got introduced into over 30 states. It's called Defend the Guard. Essentially, it would require that the National Guard from each state withholds their National Guard from being called into federal service for the purposes of combat unless Congress has first done their job. So we're trying to remove 50% of the military's force to go around the world on these wars, these adventures, these wars of choice, unless we've done it the right way. If Congress wants to put their name on the line, then the National Guard should willingly put their boots on the ground.
Interesting. That comment comes at a time when, okay, that's a foreign engagement. When it comes to a U.S. response, we got a bunch of Democrats asking for Joe Biden to take over the Texas National Guard because we are at loggerheads right now. We got Greg Abbott and Joe Biden. Greg Abbott trying to enforce law on the border. Joe Biden and minions, obviously not. And the call by some Democrats to nationalize the Guard here in Texas, take it away from Greg Abbott, who's trying to put up some razor wire. I mean, what do you make of this bizarre Twilight Zone situation that we have on the U.S.-Mexican border?
No, it's absolutely. You know, the National Guard and the disdain that the current administration has for the service members in each state is magnified by a headline that I saw this morning when I woke up. Arizona National Guardsmen among those injured in Jordan drone strike. This happened yesterday. We had the bill, Defend the Guard, passed through the state Senate in Arizona last year, and the Republican Speaker of the House put the bill in his drawer and refused to let it be heard in the House. We could have prevented the death of Arizona National Guardsmen in Jordan yesterday if we could have gotten this bill passed through the state legislature. So now we pivot to Texas, and we see Governor Abbott using the National Guard, which is the state militia, for what they're actually constitutionally required to do, repel an invasion. And Joe Biden wants to send in federal shock troops to engage in some sort of armed and hostile conflict with Americans, with citizens of Texas, because they're trying to defend our homeland, something that he has willfully neglected. It's a bizarre, strange a place we find ourselves. And I think that they're going to find out real fast that Texans and Americans in general do not support the federal government coming into our states and dictating that we turn over our property, our liberty, and our peace and prosperity to some invading force.
Just to hear some Democrats telling Joe Biden, hey, go in there, pull rank, you take over that guard in order not to enforce border law. I think that's as simple and accurate as you can explain it to the American people, and I wish more people would be paying attention. My guest right now is Dan McKnight. He's with Bring Our Troops Home. Quick recap, your thoughts on this attack by these terrorists, they keep saying Iran-backed militants attacking a U.S. facility that had a bunch of U.S. service members. What, in your mind, what should America do next?
You know, I say bring our troops home, right? We should obviously get our house in order and lead the world through peace and economic prosperity and through international diplomacy, not occupation and empire building. You know, demonstrate our leadership by self-restraint and self-governance, not regime change influence peddling. You know, our international good intentions have created this self-induced perpetual war machine cranking out violent insurgents who hate us because of our occupation of their homeland, not because of our freedom and prosperity and the democracy that they claim that they hate. We're in this imperial Rome phase of our own American story arc. And as a reminder for those that aren't really aware, the imperial phase ended with the Roman and Byzantine empires falling when the Turks took control of their own capital city because their military was absent and marching around the world and expanding the empire. The imperial phase has never and will never end with a return to the Republican phase unless we can fully restrain our own foreign policy and tend to our own backyard. So my heart aches for the deaths and the injuries that Americans sustained in Jordan. But I have to ask the question, what are we doing there? When did Congress authorize this war effort? When did Congress declare war that justifies us putting our boots on the ground in a foreign sovereign nation?
Let's look at policing maormaritime, Straits of Hormuz, and all these ships, some American, some UK, some allies. And you got everything from petrol and other fuels and cargo and container ships, all that being attacked by Houthis. Is there a role for U.S. naval forces, for the U.S. military to stay there, police, at least patrol and protect U.S. interests that are shipping through the Straits of Hormuz?
You know, Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution actually gives power to the federal government to defend the waterways, to defend the seas, and to defend American interests on the international waters. That's actually in our Constitution. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with us engaging in maritime operations. What I do have a problem with, though, is using those maritime operations and the presence of the United States Navy to launch strikes and attacks into a country, into a nation, into a political body of people that we have not declared war against and with whom we're not at war with. And for us to get this thing right, we do need to reclaim the power that we've given Congress. Congress needs to tell the executive, no more. You do not get to go to war unless we declare it. It's in the Constitution. You have violated the Constitution. And Congress has a duty to use their influence over the executive, no matter who is there, Biden, Trump, Obama, it doesn't matter. If the president has taken us into war illegally, Congress has a duty to impeach, because that is an impeachable offense.
Dan McKnight with Bring Our Troops Home. Some may say, Dan, look, this thing taking place in the Straits of Hormuz, U.S. naval forces are simply shooting back when shot upon from land targets. Is your argument only to create an iron dome, let's say, over U.S. commercial ships and military ships and not fire back when shot at? I mean, they shoot missiles from beaches and from cities.
I think it's important to distinguish, is the United States Navy in Hormuz because of their protecting trading routes and American commercial interests, or are they there as a show of a posturing and strength because of what's happening in Israel with the Palestinians right now? What is the purpose of the United States military being there? And I would suggest that we don't have one carrier group. We have two or three carrier groups in the area as a show of force, as the United States flexing their international might. But again, if it's so important for us to send thousands of Americans into a region of the world and occupy multiple nations and to attack multiple nations with our military might, if it's so important for us to do that, let's do it the right way. Let's declare war. Let's put the full faith, credit, and support of the United States Congress, the government, and our nation as a whole behind the effort, define the mission, define success, get the heck out of the way and let the military do their job, and then let them come home once they've completed it. Don't make us stay there forever.
Well, understood, yeah. Thanks for your time, Dan. Be safe. From Bring Our Troops Home is Dan McKnight. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're in tune with The Dana Show for a Monday, reporting to you from her Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
Partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale is really a truly academic institution. They were founded in 1844, and they're right there in Southern Michigan, classical, small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan. And they've been producing these things called the 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. And so they're short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. Think in the spirit of Schoolhouse Rock. And while you're there, you can go to Dana4FORHillsdale.com to check those out. But while you're there, you can also reserve a free pocket copy of your constitution, a pocket constitution, reserve a free copy. Hillsdale is a great institution focused on merit and character, not at all on identity politics. So that's their mission. To hear a Constitution Minute, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com, and while there, reserve your free copy of your pocket constitution courtesy of Hillsdale. That's Dana4HillsDale.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From South Texas, you're in tune with The Dana Show. Happy Monday. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and Lord willing, she'll be back with us tomorrow. I'll tell you, someone who's going to stick around or promises to stick around after South Carolina, after the Republican primary, yeah, Nikki Haley. And she's in the news today saying that South Carolina and everybody and their dog, we all know she's going to lose. She's likely to lose big in South Carolina. But, former Governor Nikki Haley saying that in her home state, win or lose, it's not going to be do or die when it comes to her campaign. So there you go. At a time when we need everybody rowing in the same direction because we have a country that we need to save, in my opinion, at this point, if Governor Ron DeSantis figured it out and said, okay, we need to row in one direction, let's fight, people. First of all, let's fundraise. That's what I think they should be saying. Let's fundraise, put some money in the coffers, concentrate on the swing states, get the messaging out there, connect the dots via some of these social media, YouTube commercials, some of the Instagram commercials, the pre-rolls on all that stuff. Yeah, you guys on the Republican side should be messaging, but since you suck at messaging, I don't expect any of that fundraising or any of those media purchases to try to connect the dots to inform the ignorant American electorate, because it's all exacerbated by the leftist, crazy, lunatics, communists that control the media. Yeah, I don't expect the Republicans to do that, but she says she's going to be a pain in the you-know-what. Well, she didn't say that, but I'm saying that. She's going to be a pain in the rear end. South Carolina is not do or die. It's one of her comments from doing the Sunday shows this past weekend. Hey, the Super Bowl is set from the who gives a flip category of news, unless, of course, you're a 49ers fan or you're a fan of the Chiefs in Kansas City, or you're a Swiftie, right? Taylor Swift. Funny meme I saw this past weekend, a map of our country, the contiguous 48 states. It showed in red the those cheering for Kansas City. Of course, just one little red dot in the middle. It was Kansas, right? Those cheering for the 49ers and left coast, west coast, Northern California, you had a little 49er cap out there. And the third category was all gray. From coast to coast, all gray in the category said. Can both of these teams lose? Like, please? Yeah, that's where I'm at. I was with the Lions. Just my heart was with the Lions because, they'd never been there before. I kind of wanted them to win and have some friends rooting for them. Thanks for joining us. Monday edition of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting from South Texas.
As we get moving, our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. Seems really cool. I don't know, we were at the Kel-Tec booth yesterday and got to see a lot of people's reaction to the Gen 3 that they have. And it's I've called it gun origami, and they're like, yeah, that's actually correct. I mean, that's like as close to it as you could get. The cool thing about it is it's 9mm Sub-2K Gen 3. It's shipping now. And you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore if you're going to fold it in half. The whole thing folds in half. Now, previously, you'd have to take your optics off, all that. Now you don't. It's simple twist and fold motion. It's a patent-pending rotating fore-end. And so either direction it twists, and you can fold it in half. Just as easy as you deploy it, you can quickly, you know, pack it up. It's optics and everything. You can stay, it stays on. It's awesome. And that's just one of the upgrades that they've made to this Gen 3 version of the Sub-2K that's pushed it over the top. They got an upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned trigger mechanics. So you got a lightened 5-pound trigger pull. The updated trigger also makes for more precise feedback. They have upgraded action. They got a new chamber indicator. And this one ships in Glock 19 configuration, so it also takes magazines from the Glock 17. Just awesome. Made right here in the U.S. of A. Family-owned Florida-based company. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Convince Americans and voters that those prices might not go back to where they were before the pandemic.
Well, I think most Americans know that prices are not likely to fall. It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
Of course. Yeah, the Fed's objective is to, what is it, boys and girls, slow down, try to slow down the U.S. economy, try to raise the price of money, that the capital that you might need to, I don't know, borrow for a home, borrow for a car, the price that you pay for borrowing on your credit card, and the capital that businesses need in order to build stuff, hire people, buy raw materials, build stuff, including at raw materials for the assembly line. Yeah, the prices ain't going down, and yeah, you know, you're smart enough to know that. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show, and I'm reporting to you from, you know, just hours drive away from Elon Musk and Starbase. USA, yeah, is Texas Rocket Venture, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, affiliate KURV in South Texas. Dana taking care of some family stuff, and she'll tell us about that tomorrow when she comes back, Lord willing. Yeah, you ain't dumb. Just don't forget to connect the dots. And for your not so well-informed family members and your colleagues, be patient. Don't start yelling now. Just be patient and calmly explain to them, connect the dots, how an oversupply of money under the Biden administration, and yes, sadly, too many Republican politicians, all Democrats and Republicans, because they were so afraid of being called out for not being sensitive enough, not caring enough, not providing for the American people some type of lifeline during COVID and the shutdown that should never have happened. But yeah, a lot of mistakes were made. And instead of correcting those mistakes and learning from them, we just got the same stupid behavior. Just print, print, print. They're not even printing them. I don't think there's probably enough trees in this country and this world to print the trillions upon trillions and trillions of notes, dollars, and put, you know, flush the market. It's all electronic money. It's all fake money. And it's all saddled on our kids and grandkids to maybe, unless everything implodes and we die as a nation, maybe force our kids and grandkids to pay for this sometime in the future. Salaries have been adjusted. The price of fuel, it's much higher compared to 36, 24 months ago, especially 36 months ago under the final month of the Trump administration, even first month after the administration, the price started going north because the mindset of this administration, the Biden administration, is to try to destroy, try to diminish, and if they could, I'm sure some of his minions, completely end the use of fossil fuels, the lifeblood of the American economy and all economies for that matter. In other words, kill the American economy first as an example to the rest of the world. Let people starve. Let people, you know, try to find new jobs in something they're not trained for, which is all this new energy, the technology that still hasn't been proven. Kamala Harris out there, isn't she the border czar? who hasn't seen the mess, the Biden border mess that we have right now down here? Well, I'm talking on the economy. Again, as I told you last hour, you got liars, you got damn liars, and then you got Democrats, and then you got the Biden administration. Cut nine, Steve-O.
I'll start by saying that we still have work to do to bring down prices. But the work we have done has been historic in terms of strengthening the economy.
Yeah, bringing down prices. My hairy Mexican butt, absolutely not. No. And what we have seen is a slowdown in the rate of inflation. That's all it is. And you need to explain that, connect the dots to your friends and family who are so tempted and so fearful that they're tempted to vote for this incompetent boob that we have at the White House right now, Joe Biden, who can't finish sentences, can't finish speeches. He can't even read from the teleprompter. As I said last hour, it just dawned on me this past weekend listening to a string of some of his incoherent conclusions and blah, 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 babbling blah, 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 when he's trying to finish something he's reading on the teleprompter. This guy probably couldn't even read the nuclear codes once they gave him the card from the nuclear football to defend our country, to fire back. He probably wouldn't even be able to read anything like that. Can you imagine? Yeah, too much money, too much fake money, too much monopoly money, not enough supply. It's common sense. And you don't need an economics degree from Harvard or anywhere else. Well, obviously, of late, you don't need to be that smart to be leading Harvard, for that matter, if you know what I'm saying. Too much money, too little goods, too few goods. Supply that's small. Yeah, absolutely. People are going to be willing to pay through the nose for whatever is out there. And to deliver to the market, the price of fuel, that's a big factor as well. I know Joe Biden's out there, let's see, bragging about prices and gas prices. It was cut 19. See, well, let's get that one out of the way.
Inflation is coming down. It's now lower in America than any other major economy in the world. The cost of eggs, milk, chicken, gas, and so many other essential items have come down. But for all we've done to bring prices down, there are still too many corporations in America ripping people off.
Oh, of course. Let's blame it on capitalism. Let's blame it on the billionaires. Let's blame it on the rich. We need to eat the rich. Liars, damn liars, and Democrats. And then there's Joe Biden and company. And prices haven't come down. Dopey. They haven't. Let's take a look at the price of gas. Let's gallon of gas. Let's take a look at chicken. Let's take a look at eggs and milk and all that. All the essential proteins, beef and all that. Let's compare the prices now to 36 months ago when you took the reins. 36 plus months ago when you took the reins compared to that. And see, people are still feeling that pain. And that's why, again, I encourage you, for your friends, your family, the woefully blissfully ignorant and misinformed in your ranks. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do the heavy lifting on behalf of our nation. You're going to have to tell your uncle. You're going to have to tell your cousin. You're going to have to tell your coworker. You're going to have to tell your clients. You're going to need to have that conversation to examine the prices. About 36 months ago, examine the policies, the flood of money, the lack of supply, the energy policies, increasing the price of diesel, delivery to market. And another thing that's pretty easy to explain, the lack of leadership, which lack of leadership on anything by the Biden administration, but lack of leadership when it came to the supply chain in this country. At a time we had ships stuck on the Pacific coast with Lord knows how many goods that needed to come to market to try to ease inflation, try to get all that stuff to market. That was a call for a true leader to put the trucks of the military in action to offboard all those goods and send it to market. An emergency response, and we got nothing, absolutely nothing from this dude. You're going to have to connect the dots for your friends and family. Biden White House confirming the record number of, you know, these so-called encounters at the U.S.-Mexican border for the month of December. U.S. Customs Border Protection announcing over 302,000 so-called encounters at the border. It's everything from the international bridges to pretty much all of them are the encounters by Border Patrol between the international bridges. So the 302,000 encounters, folks coming across the bridges, talking to CBP, 250,000 of the 302,000 encounters were illegal immigrants, people swimming the river, crossing the desert, maybe tearing into some of that fencing in the southwest border, crossing the border illegally, and then immediately waiting in line, waiting for Border Patrol to show up and to give them some paperwork, some documents to come into the country now legally after being processed and paroled. This is Joe Biden's border, people. He owns it. This is the mess. But meantime, Alex Mayorkas is saying that there's no border mess. There's no problem. The border is secure. So the Biden administration, again, they themselves admitting the record numbers that we see at the border. And by the way, do you guys see that some traffic online on a convoy? In fact, it's already I think today, this convoy of truckers, they're trying to point a finger, draw attention to the Biden border mess. They were scheduled. They came from up northeast, from the south, a whole bunch of truckers. I have not seen any follow-up. I actually haven't been able to see any video on this, but I expect maybe to see it tomorrow. Maybe Dana can talk about this, if they were successful in getting a whole bunch of people to the border. They were headed toward Eagle Pass, which is ground zero right now. In the legal fight between Joe Biden, who does not want to enforce border law, and Greg Abbott, our governor in Texas, who wants to do anything, everything possible to make up for the fact that we have been abandoned, that this is a border invasion, that Joe Biden and the federal government have completely washed their hands of this responsibility of providing any border security, any orderly migration into this country, and have left us with hundreds of thousands of illegal crossers coming into this nation, Lord knows from where, not proper. There's only so much you can do to properly vet and do a background check on 250,000 illegal immigrants. I know the Border Patrol encountered these people. See, and I'm not even mentioning to you the folks who got away from the Border Patrol. There's only so much you can do to properly vet and do a background check on all these people. We have no idea who's coming into this country. We do know, based on plenty of video, plenty of reports from the southwest to south of Tucson, from Eagle Pass, it's a lot of young men, strong, as some of these reports like to say, military age young men. A lot of young men, strong young men. Now, are they coming over here to work some as illegal immigrants in some construction site, or are they coming here for other purposes, nefarious purposes in our country? I don't know. You don't know, compliments of Joe Biden. President Trump is speaking out about this mess on the border. He was at a rally in Vegas. Former President Trump trying to convince lawmakers up in D.C. not to support this so-called bipartisan legislation that might give Joe Biden some emergency authority, you know, have him wave his little wand and look like he's trying to do something for, I don't know, the Republican mess that is being. And there's a lot of people, you know, if Joe Biden were to say that, and he has, by the way, his people have, Karine Jean-Pierre, these people have been trying to blame the Republicans for this Biden border mess. We have so many saps in this country, so people willfully misinformed, willfully ignorant people that would believe him every single word that he has to say. President Trump trying to convince lawmakers in D.C., don't do it. Don't try to pass any type of emergency authority. Don't give him some type of Band-Aid to make him look like he's trying to do something about the mess that he created. Let him own it first. There's President Trump praising Texas Governor Greg Abbott for, as former President Trump was saying, Greg Abbott in Texas defying the U.S. Supreme Court, telling all these other states to send more National Guard troops to Texas in support. We had 25 states late last week that expressed support for what Greg Abbott and the state of Texas are doing, trying to enforce some type of border law. We are so divided right now. I mean, I don't recall enough. If you have to go all the way back to the Civil War, I think. You have to go all the way back then to see a nation so divided that, man, it's almost like it's a powder keg. God help us. I hope and pray nothing bad happens. Well, nothing worse, because we have bad stuff happening already. Nothing worse happens on the U.S.-Mexican border right now that leads to, I don't even want to take my mind there. Yeah, 25 states supporting Texas, willing to help out. And around here, look, I'm reporting to you from what I refer to as the Dana Show Southern Command. Here in the Rio Grande Valley, McAllen, Texas, I see plenty of vehicles that are Department of Public Safety vehicles from Florida, Fish and Wildlife from Florida, other state, and folks that are helping out Texas authorities trying to secure the border here in deep South Texas. The hot spot is Eagle Pass. That's where we got razor wire down here. We got lots of razor wire in that state park, that city park, and Eagle Pass. And that's where this caravan was headed to Eagle Pass. I think they were going to go visit El Paso and then head over to, I think, Arizona, right south of Tucson as well. The hot spots. They're cutting the wall out there. So man, we'll hear some more information on this caravan. These truckers trying to shine a light on this. And don't forget, as you shine a light on this, don't forget to stop voting stupidly. Don't you dare vote for any single Democrat. State legislature, national office, that's where the mess is coming from. That's the team that supports this fool right now that's made a mess of our border. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show for a Monday. Thank you so much for joining us today. You stick around. Got a conversation related to all this Biden versus Abbott fight that's taking place, and some people, some Democrats demanding that Joe Biden take the Texas National Guard, take the National Guard away from Greg Abbott. That conversation coming up later this hour on The Dana Show.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From South Texas, you're listening to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana, she should be back tomorrow with us, Lord willing, and coming up in just a little bit, one of the communist Castro brothers, you know, up from Central Texas, up in San Antonio. He wants Joe Biden to federalize, to nationalize the Guard here in Texas. Take it away from Greg Abbott. And my friend from Heritage, Hans von Skopowski. I told Hans a long time ago, man, why don't you just change your last name to Smith, man? It's a whole lot easier. I have to do, you know, like verbal calisthenics to say your name. Well, Hans will join us, explain why Joe Biden doesn't have a legal leg to stand on when it comes to the Constitution and the Guard. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Let's do some headlines, Steve-O.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, they say in politics, strange bedfellows. Well, look who's in the news. Snoop Dogg saying he has nothing but love and respect for Donald Trump. It seems that Snoop Dogg, remember him? He did it when Donald Trump came to office, did a video. Him literally on the video, you could see this clownish figure that he was pointing a gun at and was shooting, like pretending to shoot Donald Trump. Well, Snoop Dogg has had a change of heart because Trump pardoned a friend of his, Death Row Records co-founder Michael Harris, who served 30 years in prison for conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. And now they're all friends, lovey-dovey. Snoop Dogg is a big Trump fan. There's nothing but love for him. Will you vote for him, Snoop? Attention, all big government lefties, you guys who believe in everybody paying their fair share and believe the government is the solution. Well, here's your chance to give more to the government to solve everything, right? Income tax season has finally arrived. Today's day one for the 2023 federal income tax return season. You can file your paperwork. And a Russian figure skating team will be stripped of gold medals from the 2022 Beijing Olympics because of doping allegations. The American who came in second gets the gold. Woohoo! From South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Texas should stand their ground. They should enforce their state law and go back to the constitutional rights that they've been granted to protect their state sovereignty. And that's what so many of us as governors are offended by, is that Democrats were threatening to encourage the president to activate our guards in order to get them to stand down and not protect our state. So it is a dangerous situation.
From the state of North Dakota, that's Kristi Noem, governor, who you know, I'm talking with Steve off here. I think probably her middle initials would be VP, or wants to be VP. Kristi, VP, no. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Yeah, Dana had a write-up on this past weekend. No, it's less than a handful of electoral votes. Absolutely, it ain't going to happen. Now, Steve was telling me some of the write-ups, and I haven't seen this, but Stefanik, Vivek, Lots of people still mentioning those names. I don't know. Look, just this is just my two cents, since I get the benefit, the blessing of filling in for my buddy Dana. And I know you guys that are working the party out there, I know you guys that work for some of these chairmen and chairwomen and for Ronald McDonald. Actually, I shouldn't say that, Ronald McDaniel, because I think Ronald McDonald probably do a better job of running the Republican Party right now, doing some fundraising, getting out there and properly messaging. And all you need to do is message in the swing states, kids. That's all. That's where you need to buy first fundraise, hundreds of millions of dollars. There's no excuse for you to be bankrupt. You're Republicans. You're the party of the rich, right? Aren't you? So fundraise and go advertise in the swing states before people open up that little YouTube, little stupid video, and see, try to connect the dots with them. Tell them to stop voting Democrat. They open up those little Instagram videos and open up those little Facebook videos. Before they see that, they see a quick roll, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Let me connect the dots. Biden border mess, inflation, compare 30. Price of fuel, all this insecurity, instability, the bloodshed in the Middle East. Yeah, Biden, stop voting stupid. Stop voting dumb. You need to connect the dots for these people. Yeah, there's no leadership in the Republican Party, but I digress. I think that the one who will be doing the messaging, sadly, again, by himself, will be Donald Trump. And you know, for you guys for working the Nikki Haley camp, I know she's saying she's not going to leave the campaign. She's not going to leave South Carolina. It's not the end. Yeah, it is. You get your butt handed to you. Could you please take your oars? Could you please start rowing in the same direction to defeat not only Joe Biden, but defeat all of his minions, all of his apologists in Congress? So many of these people in swing states, and some of the coward Republicans who are jumping ship right now, they have other Republicans running. You need to connect the dots on all the major issues so that all those swing districts and all those swing states are properly informed, and they're properly informed, and don't make the mistake of voting Joe Biden and company back to Washington, because we have a nation to save. And having said this, I think for people that work for Donald Trump, this is just my two cents. Why not go for it? I say, you know, you were lovey-dovey and praising Ron DeSantis. Why not? That was many months ago. Freedom-loving Americans, liberty-loving Americans, America first-minded citizens and neighbors. What was it? You know, it was the dream ticket. It's Trump, DeSantis, right? And let DeSantis be the messaging board. Let him be a fighter. He knows how to fight the media. Vivek. And don't get me wrong, Vivek is very intelligent and very disciplined in properly messaging his point of view, does a good job in doing his homework and putting 1, 2, 3 of those messages and going for the jugular. That's what I love about Vivek Ramaswamy. He knows how to communicate. I think Vivek Ramaswamy would be a perfect campaign spokesperson to constantly take it to the media and connect the dots, remind them of all the bogus conspiracies, all the lies that were thrown at Donald Trump to destroy his presidency, do it over and over again, defend Donald Trump. I think Vivek would be an awesome campaign spokesman. But the dream ticket a long time ago was Trump DeSantis. I think it still is. Don't be afraid, Mr. President. I know you guys are lovey-dovey and you guys are talking nice things about each other. We'll make it happen. Put that dream ticket together so that next shot, 4 years down the road, we continue with an America first mindset. If it's not Ron DeSantis, I think the All America story that all parents and all kids could look at, of all colors, black, inner city America, or maybe the poor white kids in Appalachia, any color, yellow, red, whatever, all the kids could look at his example of stick-to-itiveness when it came to education. A great mama that forced him to read, do good in school, and become a success in medicine. It's a great story. Ben Carson, I think, would be a great vice presidential candidate. But I think it should be Trump DeSantis. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I'm in for my friend Dana Lashin. You want to say hi online, reach me here at the radio station with KURV. Is one of the proud affiliates for the Dana Show. It's Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, at KURV.com on Twitter. On X, it's at Sergio Talk. Well, the fight continues on the border, and we got some of these communists, the Castro communists, one of the twins up there saying Joe Biden should take over the Texas, take over the National Guard, take it away from Greg Abbott. But it's not as easy as it sounds. There are laws, there's a Constitution that needs to be obeyed. So let me go to my friend from Heritage who explains it, why Joe Biden can't just simply take the guard from Texas. Some Democrats are saying that, hey, we can get Joe Biden to take the guard away from Texas from Greg Abbott. Just nationalize it. That way, Joe Biden can use the National Guard in Texas to, in essence, not enforce border law. Greg Abbott's trying to enforce border law. But does Joe Biden have any legal standing to do that? From the Heritage Foundation, senior legal fellow Hans von Spakovsky. Happiest 2024, my friend. Welcome back to the program. So there you go. Does Joe Biden have a legal leg to stand on when it comes to taking over the guard to not enforce law at the border?
No, he doesn't. If you look at the federal statutes that govern the National Guard, in times of war and national emergencies, the president can call this National Guard into service as part of our military reserve, but he can only do it with the consent of the governor of that state. So if the governor doesn't give that consent, then they remain under the complete control of the governor. And so the president can't do that. Now, Sergio, there are certain circumstances under which that can be overridden, but none of them fit in this situation. And what those federal statutes talk about is they're based on the Insurrection Act of 1807, and you have to show that there is a rebellion going on, and that obviously is not the case here. You have to show, for example, that state and federal laws are not being enforced, that judicial proceedings, the regular course of judicial proceedings, aren't working. And of course, as you know, that's not the situation here. No court has said Texas can't continue to do what it's been doing, which is putting up barbed wire fencing to try to secure the border. So the president has no legal authority to take over the guard, as I read some folks like Beto O'Rourke have been urging him to do.
Yeah. Does the state of Texas, does Greg Abbott have a firm constitutional leg to stand on when it comes to defending the state of Texas from invasion? Is, in my opinion, the governor finally has properly declared. I know he's been saying that for several months, but man, it's obvious to everybody this is an invasion. There is no border unless Texas puts up something. So describe for us again, constitution-wise, this protection, this defense of the border.
Well, keep in mind that what Texas was doing was putting up fencing on state-owned and private property, not federal property. And when the federal government started cutting holes in the fencing, they went to court. The Fifth Circuit, U.S. Court of Appeals, issued an injunction telling the Biden administration that it could not take down this fencing that the state was putting on state land. The Biden administration appealed that. It was an emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court simply issued a very simple two-sentence order, not on the merits of the issue, but simply saying, no, there won't be an injunction while this case is on appeal. And the case, I think, is being argued on the 15th in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And so Texas will continue to push on this. But the whole point is that The only thing the courts did was say, well, no, the Biden administration can't be stopped from removing parts of the fencing. But they didn't say a word about Texas not being able to continue to put up fencing. And as you know, apparently the Biden administration has stood down and said, well, no, it's not going to try to remove the fencing.
Hans von Spakovsky from Heritage, the executive branch is absent, willfully, in my opinion, Joe Biden is not enforcing border law. He's got his minions out there, Mayorkas, allowing everybody into the country to stay when they cross illegally. Is there, legally speaking, any politicians, any attorneys general, any governors to sue the executive branch, sue Joe Biden for not doing his job?
Well, as you know, it's very difficult to force a president to engage in actions if he doesn't want to do it. And the Biden administration has done nothing but fight in court to avoid actually having to do what they're supposed to do, which is enforce immigration law. You may have seen that one of the House committees investigating Mayorkas, the head of DHS, just released an impeachment resolution. And I've taken a look at it, and those who say that, oh, no, you shouldn't impeach somebody just because they have a different policy priority are looking at this the wrong way. They don't want to impeach him for having a different policy priority. They want to impeach him for directly violating federal law. And one example of that is that neither the president nor the Secretary of Homeland Security have the right to provide mass parole to illegal aliens in the U.S. They can't do that. That violates federal law, and yet they've been doing exactly that. So what this House committee is recommending is Mayorkas be impeached for actually violating federal law and directing the people who work for him at DHS to violate federal law. That is an impeachable offense.
Yeah, but why just Mayorkas? I mean, he's only an employee of the executive branch. It's Joe Biden who's responsible for this policy or non-enforcement policy. He's the boss. Why not go after Joe Biden?
Well, that's a political question, and I guess you'd have to go into whether Republicans in the House are willing or not willing to do that. And I think their idea is to start with Mayorkas, who's directly in charge of what is happening. Whether they would then go over his head, I don't know.
It's just that cowardly, and they don't want to go after Joe Biden because they don't want to impeach him because it's going to look like tit for tat.
Look, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, what I can tell you is that I think they have the grounds for doing it. It's not just a difference in policy priorities, but it's, frankly, a Secretary of DHS and a president who are directly violating federal immigration law. Look, they're even giving work permits to illegal aliens coming across the border, and federal law strictly prohibits that. There's only certain aliens who get into the country who are entitled to get work permits, and the illegal aliens coming across aren't entitled to that, and yet they're doing it anyway. That's a direct violation of federal immigration law.
Last we saw, at least from New York, I think you're referring to New York, many of these illegal immigrants, the overwhelming majority of them, they're not taking that opportunity to sop up some of those jobs. From the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow. I just want to get your quick comment on all these states lining up behind the state of Texas. Well, I think it was like 24, 25 states. And support
right.
What the governor is doing. I don't think our nation has been this divided. I mean, I can't remember when we were this divided in such a long time. And I guess these states likely will be sending more resources, National Guard and other law enforcement resources to the border.
They should, because these days you don't have to be a border state for this to be a problem. We're all border states now because, as you know, the Biden administration is taxpayers are paying to transport these illegal aliens all over the country.
Hans, thank you. We'll speak again soon, friend. You be safe.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
From the Heritage Foundation, senior legal fellow Hans von Spakovsky. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with the Dana Show, broadcasting today from her Southern Command in South Texas. Just about an hour's drive away. The studio about an hour's drive away from my buddy Elon Musk. Well, he's not my buddy, but, you know, I would like to meet him someday. He's just down the street over at Starbase here in South Texas. You want to say hi online at Sergio Talk on Twitter. You're in tune with The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, up first in Florida, let's see here. It's the Nassau County DA that's going after a young man, very young man, a scammer, hacked into doctors' electronic prescribing accounts. In essence, since they this young scammer, 21-year-old, and company who had runners to go pick up drugs. It was a scheme that would be, as mentioned in the write-up on Fox 35, the modern-day equivalent of stealing a doctor's prescription pad and just writing, because it was electronic. So there was some type of loophole, something they got in there and were able to prescribe all these painkillers, for example, painkillers. And this young man, this 21-year-old Devin Anthony Majerian from Kissimmee, Florida, he was able to prescribe all these painkillers, had runners go pick the prescriptions up, pay for them, and they're able to sell those online. So this dude's facing multiple charges. Let's see what else is here. Speaking of stealing, which, after I read this, well, I'll tell you what came to mind after I read this. Look, according to Monroe County, the sheriff's office in Florida, a boat trailer reported missing from a local sheriff's office in late January. It was returned about 4 days later, and the deputies at the sheriff's office are saying that there was an indication that it had been used. In fact, they went back to security video footage and found somebody that they could go after related to this. They have somebody in custody. Let me see. It's a Florida man arrested late last week, stole a boat trailer. Was it really stealing, though? His name is Jonathan Scott Sharkey. I like the name, the Shark, Sharky, 56, from Key West. So he steals a trailer, uses it for 4 days, and sends it back. But he's facing, charges that he stole this trailer. But they have it back. And may I say, the dude's a taxpayer, right? This is public property. No, I'm not advocating that you use public property for yourself. But that's the first thing that popped in my head. Wait, he's a taxpayer, right? Maybe, if he's working for a living. He'll purchase it. He borrowed it for 4 days and sent it back, and now he's facing all these charges. Anyway, just my quick thoughts on that. Don't do it. Please don't think like I do and actually commit a crime. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
I'd have to understand the context within which, the president is speaking based on whatever authority he may be given. The president, of course, I believe, will always do what he believes is in the best interest of the American people, consistent, with the fact that America is a safe haven for people who are fleeing oppression and persecution. But it has to be managed in a reasonable way. And clearly, the system is being overwhelmed right now. I think people on all sides within the Democratic family and coalition acknowledge that. But figuring out the path forward so that it's consistent with who we are as America.
The only reason that it probably pains him to say that. That's the voice of Hakim, the Bad Dream, Jeffries. You guys have followed the NBA and followed Hakeem Olajuwon, Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. You know what I'm talking about. Hakeem, the Bad Dream, Jeffries, the minority speaker of the House. I'm convinced the only reason that they're talking about this, it's an election year. And the mess is so bad. It's the worst now it's ever been on the U.S.-Mexican border. It is beyond embarrassing. It is potentially harmful to our nation because we have no idea who's coming in here, and maybe terror cells, criminals, definitely a hell of a lot more fentanyl crossing the border, poisoning our families, poisoning our kids, more criminals, more rapists, more bad hombres, as Donald Trump used to say. And those are the ones that are getting away, the ones that don't take the time to be processed by Border Patrol to get a free ticket into the country, go stand in line and game the asylum program. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my dear friend Dana Lash, and taking a family day today, she'll explain tomorrow probably what's going on, and just a little bit of a day to reset and to get ready for tomorrow. And I appreciate the call, Dana. Love you, friend. You and Chris, and I hope God gives you some peace here pretty soon. You guys who follow Dana online, you know exactly what's going on. So you got Hakeem, the Bad Dream Jeffries. In essence, what he's talking about is Joe Biden making some noise. Joe Biden and his people making some noise on working with Congress to shut down the border. Well, that could mean that could mean a whole bunch of things, shutting down the border. Now, people who go apoplectic, they go absolutely nuts when they hear, shut down the border. What are you talking about? Mexico is our biggest trading partner. They're not calling for it. Shutting down the border on trade. Although I would say, and I'll just put in my two cents on this, when Governor Greg Abbott, many months ago, he enforced state law on safety inspections, had the Department of Public Safety set up a little checkpoint near the international bridges to check every single truck that comes in from Mexico. If you guys don't know this, as I said, truth, number one, Mexico is our number one trading partner. We have billions upon billions of dollars of multinational factories. These assembly lines south of us producing all sorts of consumer goods, electronics, the washing machines, the vehicles. It's the economic ties that the U.S. has with Mexico are essential. They're part of the economy. In part, they produce some of the more affordable, some would say cheap, more affordable goods that wind up at market in the United States. The ties that we have, economically speaking, with this free trade agreement that Donald Trump redid, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, oh, there are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of assembly line jobs south of the border. Republicans, Joe Biden, who finally sees a political albatross around his neck and the potential political albatross around the necks of so many different lawmakers in swing districts, swing states. He wants to protect them by acknowledging, oh, look at that mess on the border. We need to shut down the border, using words for some individuals on, you know, the so-called right. Shut down the border means legal, orderly migration into the United States of America, and do not permit anyone who crosses the border illegally to stay. Anyone who crosses the border illegally should be returned immediately to the most, to the closest state that would allow, provide some asylum in the event that truly there is a genuine asylum case. And what would those be, boys and girls? That would be anyone who's politically persecuted, anyone who's being persecuted under the threat of death or physical violence because of their religion. Those are the two under our laws. Those are the only two cases. Everybody else is coming into this country. Economic migrants, by the millions of them, and working and gaming the asylum process and being allowed a chance to be paroled to stay. Once they claim credible fear or they say, I want an asylum hearing, they are. That's why we have millions upon millions of people that are crossing the border illegally and having a chance to stay. So of late, because it is a political year, because it's an election year, and you got a lot of people in swings, like 40-some-odd races in some of these swing states, and may I say again, I'm disappointed in some of the Republicans who are calling it quits because they're leaving those seats even more vulnerable than before. Some of these swing seats, some of these swing districts where you're calling it quits, you're not coming back. Oh, I've had enough. You're washing hands. You're not helping. Your name provides a certain familiarity. I wish that all these individuals who are calling it quits, who are Republicans in some of these swing seats, that could go DRDR. Right now, we need every single R who has a recognizable name to champion the cause of liberty, to champion the cause of America first, to tell their constituents and those willfully ignorant, tell them, let me connect the dots for you. Joe Biden created this border mess. Don't believe him on his efforts to shut down this border. He's not going to do anything. He created the mess. We have exponentially millions more crossing the border illegally, standing in line, seeking asylum, all these bogus cases. He created this. He stopped deportations. First 100 days of his administration, he is responsible for this. He just lies and lies more, and his people lie for him all the time. It's not Republicans that are the problem. It's Joe Biden that's the problem. He's got to go. And anyone who makes apologies for him, they've got to go as well. Cut 17, Steve-O. Joe Biden out there unable to finish a coherent sentence when it comes to border issues. Go ahead, Steve.
Asylum officers and over 100 cutting-edge inspection machines to help detect and stop fentanyl coming across our southwest border.
Ay, my goodness. Please, tell your friends and family not to vote stupidly in 2024, and that means connecting the dots. Again, I have to do it. Ronna McDaniel is not doing it. They have to connect the dots. Stop voting Democrat. Any representative, any congressperson, especially in those swing states, you send a Democrat back over there or you replace a Republican with a Democrat, you're making the problem worse. You're not helping. because they apologized for Joe Biden. And if you want more illegal immigration, you want more gaming of the asylum system, you think 309,000 illegal immigrants, I'm sorry, 309,000 encounters by federal authorities when it comes to these so-called migrants, 250,000 alone in 1 month of December. You think that's not enough and we need more? There you go. Well, go ahead. Vote Joe Biden back in. Vote for every congressperson who defends him, who represents a Democrat cause. Vote them back in. Send them back up to Washington. The same goes for all these senators who have Republican opponents. And thank God for this. Dana, love you, friend. Thank you so much for a chance to just get on the soapbox at the national level. We have the majority of senators that are up for re-election are Democrats. There is no reason with this Biden border mess, with inflation the way it is, with the bloody mess that we have overseas, the potential for World War III in any given day, the lack of accountability for the billions upon billions of dollars being sent to Ukraine. You name the mess, from Afghanistan, the bloody mess that was, and from the $6 billion that was given back to Iran through Qatar. Through Qatar, to, you know, the food money, the lunch money that they're able to move from the financials, move $6 billion off this page and move $6 billion to weapons. Yeah, it's common sense. You want more of this? Vote him back. Vote for all Democrats. It's that simple. It's that simplistic. That's what you need to do. Speaking of Iran, Iran. Backed militants and terrorists in the news today. Those are the ones that the Pentagon say are responsible for killing three U.S. service members and dozens upon dozens and dozens injured. Lord knows how bad they've been injured. Here's a comment from former Rear Admiral John Kirby with National Security. Cut 28, Steve.
Well, I think I certainly understand Americans' concern over these repeated attacks by groups that are backed by Iran, Joe. I'm not going to get ahead of the president or his decision space. I mean, you heard him say yesterday, we're going to respond. We'll do that. Obviously, we have now three American families. They got the worst possible news over the weekend, and now 30 more others that are injured, some of them seriously. We're going to take this seriously as well. We've got to do what we have to do to protect our troops and our facilities. What the options are available to the president, we're still working through that.
I hate that, man. I hate it when these politicians, we're going to do everything. We're not going to sleep. We're going to do everything possible to protect or service. You know, if you had, knowing that, for example, our service members were in one building in Jordan, and this goes for anywhere in the world that could be reached by any missile, drone, guided missile, any terrorist bomb, any suicide bomber inside a van running by the gates headed toward our people. Man, you'd have some of these fancy schmancy guns, and the big old guns that throw 100 bullets every second, 6,000 bullets every minute, or maybe some of the Iron Dome missiles to take down any vehicle, anything airborne to protect our people or most precious resource. But we don't. At the moment, we got a bunch of Democrats prioritizing sending this dome, this missile shield, this Iron Dome to Ukraine and trying to get that over to Israel, get that replaced. Well, our people should be, don't you think our people should be, our service members should be the priority in protecting them after we have enough assets on the ground and enough guns, enough missiles, enough Iron Dome type of outfits to protect our people? And then maybe then, whatever's left over, allow our allies to pay cash money for some of those weapons and get those sent over to them to protect them against the crazies, protect them against Putin, protect them against the Islamic radicals. I hate it when these politicians say, we're not going to sleep, we're going to do everything possible. Just shut up already. That's why people don't believe you. I don't believe you. Most Americans don't believe you. Here's an idea on how to deal with this mess that we have. I know you've noticed, paying attention to the news. That's what I'm so thankful to the talk radio and the news radio audiences all over the country. You guys pay attention to the news, but you guys woefully are in the minority. It's a very small minority of people who make an effort to be informed. You've been paying attention to these Houthi rebels. You've been paying attention to Hamas and Hezbollah and these clowns who attacked our American service members in Jordan, all of them Iranian-backed. And how far back was it? It wasn't too many months back that Iran received a nice $6 billion paycheck, some of the frozen assets. Joe Biden released that. So if I connect the dots, and I will, Joe Biden releasing $6 billion in Iranian assets. Yeah, it was for food, it was free, whatever. They just move it on the ledger, man. $6 billion they don't need for food and medicine. They'll use that for weapons. And all of a sudden, you got Hamas, you got Hezbollah, you got Houthis, you got these other clowns. They got all these weapons, all these drones, all these missiles. They got a lot of armament, and some of it pretty good. Nailing sea assets in the Straits of Hormuz, or nailing, killing, hurting our American assets from Iraq to Jordan to the Straits of Hormuz, you name it. Iranian-backed, you know, so-called rebels, terrorists, Iranian-backed terrorists, they have a lot more weapons. I say they came from the billions and billions of dollars that Iran now has. How about you take it back? That money's supposed to be under lock and key and cutter, right? John Kirby, right? It's the folks in Qatar that have that money in the bank that are supposed to be dispensing it to Iran for food, right? How about take it back? Just an idea. 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And for my friend Dana Lash, you want to say hi online. Sergio at KURV.com is the affiliate. At Sergio Talk on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning in from her Southern Command. This is The Dana Show.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From South Texas, you're in tune to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and one of the big stories late last week, affecting folks in energy and everybody, because if it affects energy, friend, it's going to affect you and your pocketbook. So the big story that I think needs a lot more top-of-the-hour news and analysis, but we're not getting it from the legacy media. The Biden White House, Joe Biden from White House, Joe Biden paused the approval for several liquefied natural gas exports, wanting to review this massive jump in exports and the effect on the environment. So I called a friend of mine, Tim Snyder, from MatadorEconomics.com. That conversation coming up a little later this hour. I want to know who gets screwed, aside from you eventually probably pay more. But who gets screwed right now as far as jobs, projects that are put on hold, construction projects put on hold? That's coming up later this hour on The Dana Show. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A follow-up to this bogus case up in New York. I mean, what else do you expect? New York jury, they're going to rule everything against Donald Trump. So the only reason I'm reading this is to be cute. So that New York writer, E. Jean Carroll, saying of the $83 million bucks that she was awarded by the jury for defamatory statements made by Donald Trump, the $83 million judgment awarded to her, she said she will use that money on something that Donald Trump hates. And I was thinking, well, since Donald Trump really hates illegal immigration, Donald Trump really hates this human tsunami, I'm kind of hoping that E. Jean Carroll maybe will help, you know, pitch in to help with a border wall. Just saying. From the irrelevant world, but still interesting, of pop, Britney Spears. I feel so ashamed having to mention this. But look, it's interesting because Britney Spears, she wrote a book. She mentioned she got pregnant from Justin Timberlake, da-da-da-da. He convinced her, go get an abortion. Britney Spears posted a video on The Tonight Show, seemed to say that she wanted to apologize for some of the things that she wrote about her book. Shut up already. He wasn't a man. He didn't stand up. He didn't want to be a father. He pushed her to kill the baby. Well, there's no reason for her to be apologizing. Anyway, I just found that follow-up just ridiculous. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, The Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's why we evaluate the economics, we evaluate the global supply demand, what other countries will be needing into the future. We evaluate our national security interests, and certainly we evaluate the environmental impacts. This is all done, we're a science agency at the Department of Energy. We have 17 national labs. I like to say, you know, in God we trust, all others bring data. And in fact, this is what this assessment is.
The Jennifer Granholm defending the Joe Biden policy announced late last week on pausing liquefied natural gas exports. I got a bit more on this coming up with my friend Tim Snyder. Just minutes away, stick around, because Tim will tell you, who gets screwed by this LNG. This is big economic news. Now, in God we trust, all others bring data. What? The data on how clean LNG is, clean burning compared to all other fossil fuels? What data is Jennifer Granholm talking about? What, China burning dirty fuel, India, coal, dirty fuel, Russia, the same thing? What data is she asking for? We have the cleanest form of fossil fuel burning. And she mentioned the price of this. Look, this is affordable, super affordable, because it's super plentiful in the U.S. It is in demand, especially by allies in Europe that can't be getting any of this fuel from Russia, who, you know, they're trying to punish Russia for invading Ukraine. This, I can tell you one thing, it hurts. It screws our allies. This pause, as they call it. They want to put some numbers to LNG, liquefied natural gas, these exports to Europe. And as far as your pocketbook, you know, down the street, look, here in South Texas, we've been celebrating now for months the fact that LNG, liquefied natural gas, we finally got $18.5 billion, one outfit, one company to invest that at the Port of Brownsville. Here in Brownsville is, you know, star base for Elon Musk. Well, right down the street is the Port of Brownsville, $18.5 billion LNG project. Now, because I want the prosperity and opportunity for all our kids, all our families here in South Texas, at one time deemed the poorest area of the planet. We have private sector investment to the tune of $18.5 billion for clean burning liquefied natural gas to be exported to our friends and allies in Europe to make some money, provide some good paying jobs, long-term jobs. First of all, construction jobs by the thousands down here to build that. No, Joe Biden has flushed or is wanting to flush all that opportunity down the toilet for this lunacy, these leftist, crazy, and environmentalists who want to declare an environmental emergency and get rid of any form of fossil fuel, whether it's clean burning or not. Not taking the time to look at how deleterious, how damaging digging for some of these rare earth minerals is for batteries. Oh, they'll never visit that. The damage done to the environment and to human beings and to kids who are slaves having to work to try to find some of these minerals and to enslave our nation to China, because China has a bunch of this. And right next door in Afghanistan, they've got a bunch of these rare earth minerals in Afghanistan as well, which, you know, probably enrich all these Islamo-fascist terrorists in Afghanistan and the Chinese nearby. This is not in America's interest. It's not in the interest of those willing to take a chance and hire thousands of people to build these nodes and to export it and make money and provide prosperity and opportunity. All because, sadly, and this is the way I see it. I'll give you an example. Here in South Texas, we have all these cities, McAllen, which I'm at, an hour away from Starbase, from Brownsville, and the port, and this LNG operation that's firing up. North of us is Corpus Christi, if you look on a map. There's easily 60 some odd miles in pristine, beautiful wetland and beach, and, you know, all these trees and all the brushland and all these animals and cow chiggers and feral hogs and you name it. And all there's 60 miles between this city, the cities down here, all the way up to Corpus. And then you go west, put another 250 miles and start doing the square mile calculation, and nothing but nature. It's the nature that's barren, that's full of, you know, from coyotes to, you know, these ocelot little tigers. What this is nature that for the illegal immigrants across the border, they die in that nature because it's so long, it's so barren, it's so far to the next point of civilization from Brownsville up to Corpus Christi. And yet we got Sierra Club, I call them carpetbaggers. They've got their trust fund. They've made their millions. They got deep pockets. They come down here. They retire here near Brownsville, near the beach. They retire in South Texas. Oh, they don't want any factory. They don't want any LNG. They don't want any prosperity. They don't even want Elon Musk in town because it will somehow disturb the pristine little neighborhood, quiet neighborhood, desolate of any industry, any prosperity, any job opportunity. These carpetbaggers come down here, the Sierra Club, and are stealing the opportunity. And they have the power of the White House and this administration working on their behalf and against everyone here in Deep South Texas who voted Democrat on behalf of Joe Biden. That's why I say and I connect the dots, especially for family in Texas and in South Texas, getting screwed by this. Stop voting Democrat. Wake up. Stop voting Democrat. Let me get to a couple of other little tidbits of information here I missed during the headlines. I found this story fascinating from South Lake Tahoe, California. Check this out. A snowboarder recovering after spending the night trapped on a gondola. Monica Lasso was tired, wanted to go down the mountain one last time, long day of snowboarding. Decided to take the gondola back down, and just a couple of minutes in, that sucker stopped, and she's way above ground, leaving Miss Lasso stuck without her phone for the entire night, fighting temperatures hitting below 20 degrees. Reportedly, she's okay, going to recover, but man, that's a scary situation. All right, I got about 18 minutes left in this hour. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. Let me share with you a conversation with my friend Tim Snyder on who gets screwed by Joe Biden putting a so-called pause to liquefied natural gas exports. Liquefied natural gas, billions of dollars, thousands of jobs on the way. Might all this be flushed down the toilet by, you know who, Joe Biden, because he, you know, there's a climate emergency, doesn't want any LNG overseas. He finally bends a knee to all the environmentalist wackos. From MatadorEconomics.com, my friend Tim Snyder. Let's get a better definition. Now that we've had two, three days behind us, from your perspective, Tim, this effort by the Biden administration to pause LNG, liquefied natural gas, exports from the U.S. to name a Europe. Europe needs it because, you know, the whole Ukraine-Russia thing. Who is going to be affected by this pause in any new LNG exports, Tim?
Sergio, it's good to be on with you, and thanks for having me on. There's a couple of clarification points that need to be made here, but we're going to first frame it by saying this. In my estimation, after reading the announcement from the White House, I believe this is a first shot across the bow to LNG exporters and developers in this country. So this is step one of what will probably be more than this particular step. To be specific, the pause on the exporting of LNG is related to, and this is a nuance, so please understand this is a particular little thing in the contract.
Okay.
It's to non-free trade agreement countries currently. That's what this pause is for. If we have a free trade agreement with somebody, we can still continue to export to those countries. If, and here's the big kicker, if the export permit from the plant that was approved by FERC has been approved for non-FTA shipments, non-free trade agreement country shipments. So what they're pausing right now is any non-free trade agreement shipments of LNG while they evaluate the process. And this is, in my estimation, is a threat to all existing projects. And that's something that the industry itself is taking notice of, Sergio, because what it's doing is it basically can turn our backs on our allies and our friends, number one. But it also limits free trade and the ability for U.S. investment to flow into these projects. It's a very serious event.
Tim Snyder, MatadorEconomics.com. So how often do exporters, how often do LNG producers, do they need to ask Uncle Sam for permission to export overseas? Is that yearly? Once they get a permit, does that stick around for several years?
I don't know the exact period of time, but I do know there was a facility in Louisiana. While it was waiting for the approval to be able to export LNG, you got to get that approved to have the export permit for your plant. While it was waiting, the plant did not complete construction, so they went back and they included non-FTA countries in the new permit request, and that plant has been put on hold as well while they go through this evaluation. So it is obviously a process that does expire and has to be re-upped. It could very well be that they could change, the Department of Energy could change the evaluation process and the timing of this.
Great.
Everything is on the table.
My goodness. Free trade agreement countries, please tell me that the majority of the clients that are waiting for LNG from present outfits, near future outfits, including the one reporting to you here from South Texas, Brownsville, with an $18.5 billion project. Please tell me that the overwhelming number of clients are from free trade agreement countries where they're only going to perhaps maybe suffer a little bit.
I hate to tell you this. The answer is no. Most of them are non-FTA countries. Free trade agreements are like CAFTA, NAFTA, the Pacific trade agreement that we had, those kinds of things. That is a substitute in treaties and tariffs and those kinds of things that supersedes any global action. And so if you have a free trade agreement with the United States, that means that you have direct trade in specific commodities in specific markets, and that would be superseded. Now, non-FTA agreement countries are like most of Europe, could very well be in that category. And we're providing, we're the nation's largest producer and exporter of LNG. And this could substantially decrease the U.S. influence within that market.
There were some policymakers were opining this past weekend saying that this is simply just a retaliation by Joe Biden to hurt Texas. Texas is not playing ball with Joe Biden's effort to not secure the border. Joe Biden didn't want anybody securing the border, and Greg Abbott standing up to him and putting more razor wire out there. It's just retaliation.
Yeah, that's true. That could be as well. But, it's also hurting the Louisiana plants. Right now, I think there are a significant number of plants that are producing LNG in the country, but a very few number that are exporting. And the primary export is coming out of, right now, it's coming out of Louisiana. But we also have the projects that you have up around the coast in Port Aransas or Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
And of course you guys project that is just amazing. And so it could be a shot there, but unfortunately, this is not directed at Greg Abbott. This is directed at anybody that makes a living in fossil fuels, even clean burning natural gas.
Yeah. Maybe just a final year gasp. Just burn it all down, I guess. Just destroy as much as you can before you leave the White House.
Right. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you checking into this. Tim Snyder for MatadorEconomics.com. Look for his newsletter. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show. Reporting to you from South Texas. You want to say hi online, Sergio at KURV.com, at Sergio Talk on Twitter, on X, and we're going to go pay some bills right now. But when we come back, just some new information on legislation to protect AM radio and electric vehicles. Hey, look at that. We got a Democrat that's going to champion the cause. Well, thank you. Give me another shot to go back on air and tell people to stop voting for Democrats. So that's coming up next on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
The names of those soldiers who lost their lives were Sergeant William Rivers, Specialist Kennedy Sanders, and Specialist Breonna Moffitt, all of whom were assigned to the 718th Engineer Company, a U.S. Army Reserve unit based out of Fort Moore, Georgia. These three fallen heroes were deployed to Jordan in support of Operation Inherent Resolve and the international coalition working to ensure the lasting defeat of ISIS.
Mm-hmm. From the Pentagon, I understand that's Sabrina Singh. And yes, finally, the Pentagon released the names of the fallen. And I was, look, I do believe in prayer. I do believe there's an Almighty that looks down on us with love, and I do believe in that. It just, what can you pray for? Just for peace and overwhelming peace and, you know, strength for the family members that got the worst news possible. And man, I hope that those who got hurt can recover, because we have no idea right now how bad the injuries are of the rest of service members, dozens upon dozens hurt in this attack that took place on a U.S. base, a housing unit there in Jordan. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Dana Show. Producer Steve does a great job of condensing all the audio, the 3 hours, down to about an hour 45. And that way you can take in the podcast, get all the news and information day to day. I do that every week, and I try to catch up with as many shows from Dana, because it's a buffet of news. It's a lot of news and information, and I appreciate the added work that they do to shuck everything down to the cob. Are you a dissectologist? You probably are if you like puzzles. It's a puzzle day to day. It's also National Tortilla Chip Day, and you know that's probably the standard snack for Super Bowl. Yeah. It's the Chiefs, it's the 49ers. My heart was with the Lions, and yeah, shoulda, woulda, coulda. They should have kicked that field goal. It would have been an even Steven score at the end. And I don't know, maybe going to OT, maybe they had a chance to win. But either way, the predictions came true. Chiefs and 49ers. I don't have a dog in this fight. The only thing I can think of is I don't know about you, but I'm just sick and tired. I just want to vomit when they go back to Taylor Swift down the press box and cheering for Kelce. And so I guess I want the 49ers to win. In an effort in D.C., there's a New Jersey Democrat congressman ramping up efforts to make sure to keep AM radio and electric vehicles. More on that on The Dana Show tomorrow. Meantime, Steve, some of the stupid audio of the day. What do you got?
All right. I think Biden was trying to make a metaphor about prices or something, and I don't know where he was going with this, but here's what he said about it.
Greedflation. Shrinkflation. You see that article about the Snickers bars? Well, it's going to stop.
Yeah. Well, now I want a Snickers. Thank you, Joe. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.